Hi Magical Ones, it's Molly from Witchbox here, just popping on to say thank you so much for support on our last podcast. During this podcast, Cam will take you through why we need to protect ourselves and three methods of protection, including witch bottles, ritual bath, and casting white light. Enjoy.
Today I wanted to talk to you a little bit about protection. Why do we need protection? I think particularly when we're looking at beginner witches, where we say, don't do anything until you know all about protection. And I've heard the question come back to me several times, well, why should we bother about protection? You know, ordinary Joe Bloggs going about his business doesn't worry about protecting himself. And my answer to that is this. We are used in this day and age to having passwords for things and perhaps having two-step verification because we want to protect what we have. Now, you don't have to do that. Nobody says you can't have this account unless you do, you know, you have a super strong password and you must have two-step verification. A lot of the time you can do what you want to do without having that. But perhaps it's sensible to do that. So the people that don't have that are open to risk. And it's similar in witchcraft. You don't have to do these things, but if you don't, there is an element of risk. And risk from what, you may ask? Well, that could be as simple as some stale or negative energies that collect in your space. It could be that you have entities that become interested in what you're doing. When you begin to work with the powers of the universe, it puts out a bit of a signal, you know, look at me, come and see what I'm doing. And there will be some element of curiosity from spirit there. And so you want to make sure that you have some protections in place. Could also be that you might have psychic attacks from other people, that you know somebody is quite vampiric, so they are trying to suck your energy. And we all know the stories of narcissists and other people that take our energy from us. So it's to protect from all of those things. And whether we're having a ritual bath or we're casting white light, not only are we protecting ourselves from those influences, but we're also in turn gaining strength. So when we, for instance, have a ritual bath, we are perhaps ridding ourselves of any retained negativity, or, you know, preparing ourselves for the next day. We are also gaining in strength because we are super protected. So that is a little bit about why we need protection, particularly as beginners. Witch bottles have been found all over the world, but predominantly in the UK and some in the USA as well. And the ones that have been found date back hundreds of years. I think the oldest is 300 years old, and that was found in Nottinghamshire when they were doing building works for the Civil War Centre, and it was found there. There have been others. There's actually one in the Pitt's River Museum in Oxford. That's not as old as a 17th century bottle, and you can go to the museum and see it. I've been there to see it. It's quite exciting. And also they've done a video where they have unstoppered the contents, and I've posted that video to my Facebook page, The Witch Crone on Facebook, so that you can watch the entire video. It's about an hour long. It's very detailed, given the history of witch bottles. So witch bottles, what are they? Well, they were typically at that age that made of stoneware, and they had other names. They were called Bartman jugs and Bellarmines, for instance, but they were stoneware jugs. A typical heavier at the bottom shape, narrower at the top. In later years, they were made of glass, and they were placed into the fabric of buildings. So typically they were buried under fireplaces and sometimes on thresholds on the entranceway to a building. They were buried quite deep, and they've only been discovered recently in our sort of time because these buildings have been demolished. There was even one in 2016 featured on the Antiques Roadshow. I think that one may have been found in a pub. And typically these bottles contained iron filings or iron nails, sometimes human nails, human hair, animal bones, small tiny pointed objects, and they were often topped up with urine. Yeah, you heard me. Pee. The idea being that they would deter any evil, any unwanted entity, but they were primarily aimed at keeping witches out of the building. The use has changed in recent years. So this has been made by the common folk of the day to deter witches. Allegedly, nobody's entirely sure. Now they tend to be made by witches to deter other witches or other things. Witch bottles were sometimes made to get rid of entities that were lingering near somebody or giving someone bother, some form of psychic attack, for example. There is a traditional story of a man whose wife was afflicted by a demon, and he sought the advice of the local magic worker, an elderly man, who said, "You must make a witch bottle and put it into the fire." So the man carefully made a witch bottle, adding in some nails, some pins, other bits and pieces, and some vile fluid, probably his own pee, but could have been vinegar. And he put it in the fire. He tossed it round in the fire. He held the cork in with his fire shovel, and eventually the bottle exploded. I'm not suggesting for 1 minute that you do this. It could be extraordinarily dangerous. And in actual fact, the story goes that it didn't work. So the bottle went off with a loud pop. There was an explosion, but his wife was still afflicted. So he went back to the old man, the magical worker, and said, "It hasn't worked. She's still suffering greatly." So the old man then said, "Well, you need to bury it. You need to bury it where it cannot be found, at a place close to where you're living." So dutifully, the husband made another witch bottle, and he went out and he buried it deep and hard. And apparently his wife then recovered rapidly. So the idea is, the sharp objects and the vile fluids in these will help to prickle the entity and force it away from you. So there is another use for a witch bottle. If you want to get rid of somebody, take it. You can even write their name on a piece of paper. And when you add the contents, roll up this piece of paper, put it in, perhaps say a little chant about why you want them to go away. Take it away from your property and bury it deep into the ground. You can time it on a phase of the moon if you want to give it some extra juju, and then you'll have to see if it works. Proof is in the pudding, remember, with witchcraft. Witch bottles got a long history, and in times gone past they were made by people to ward off witches. Today they are being made typically by witches or magical folk to ward off other witches or evil entities, unwanted entities. And they're very easy to make. It takes a little while to collect the materials, but any glass or earthenware, stoneware container would be fine. So what you would do is to cleanse the bottle first, pass it through incense smoke, or wash it thoroughly in running water, typically stream or spring water, and then you add your contents. So into here you want to put some sharp pointy things. If you're a traditionalist, you'll want to use iron nails. Now, you can get them from ironmongers. If you ask for stairboard nails or the cast iron nails, you will get them. You could choose to put pins in it, things like drawing pins, dressmaking pins. And you could put in some herbs, you can put in some black salt, that's also good. And then you need to add something of your own. So you can add a strand of hair, just pull a strand out, pop that in, some nail clippings perhaps. And then again, if you're a traditionalist, you will top this up with your own pea. If you don't want to do that and you find that way too repulsive, then you can use vinegar, and you would top it up to near to the top with vinegar. Then you would replace the top, and you need to then seal it completely with wax. So you would light up a candle and you would drip the wax all over here and around the part where the lid meets the bottle until it's sealed. Then you will need to bury it. Now, sometimes the way that these are made and the places they're buried reflects their purpose, because they do have more than one use. But if you're using it to protect your property and yourself in it, and to prevent any unwanted evil activity in your house or any evil spirits from entering, you are going to want to bury this by your threshold, underneath your front door, or as near to your property. If you live in a communal property, you can bury outside the main entrance. I suggest you do it discreetly, perhaps late at night. But you can do that, and bury it deep where it cannot be found. That's the important part. It must not be found. And this little bottle then can give you protection from those things, and you know that it's always there. Ritual baths are a good way to cleanse yourself of any negativity and to prepare yourself for a ritual. So it can be an empowering experience, because you are relaxing into it, you are shedding your worries and strife of the day, for example, if you're doing this in the evening, and you are allowing yourself a little reset, a little purification ceremony before you start your spell work or your ritual. You can do this in a bath, but you can also do this in a shower. And failing that, you can make up a bowl of ritual water and just wash your hands and perhaps your face in it. If you haven't got much time, this is a very good compromise. So, a little bit different if you're doing it in a shower, you might have to put things into a container. But in a bath, I'll talk about a bath, you would first of all have your main ingredient, which is always going to be salt. Now, you can use pink Himalayan salt, and you can get bath salts that are particularly for that purpose, or you can use black salt, or you can use common sea salt, which is my favourite go-to. So you would sprinkle your sea salt into a warm bath. And depending on what sort of spell or ritual we're going to carry out, you may want to add rose petals for love, compassion, friendship, romance. You might want to add rosemary for memory, or for forgetting, or for ancestors or grief. You can add various herbs and things into it. You can then add a few drops of essential oil. If you're going for purification, lemon is very good. You can even put slices of lemon into your bath, and not only does that smell fantastic, but it's very good for cleansing the skin in an astringent and psychic way. You can put in slices of cucumber too, other essential oils, lavender and other bits and pieces into your bath, and move it all around, and then in you get and relax. Now, if you are going to use essential oils, remember that you're better using blended oils for many of the essential oils, just in case you're putting it into just water, you might get a little pocket of oil that could irritate you. You're safe with lavender, you're safe with tea tree, but some of the others are better blended in a carrier oil. If you're in a shower, put the whole thing into a little container and let the steam do its work. Bowl of water, exactly the same as your bath. And that's how you would do your ritual bathing. Casting white light. You will sometimes hear witches describing how they cast white light. I have two particular ways of doing this that I want to talk to you about. White light is very useful. It encompasses all of the colours on the spectrum. So white contains them all. Hence, you're not leaving anything out. Black, by contrast, contains no colour. So white is said to be ideal for casting circles or fields of protection. Now, I'm sure you can think of lots of examples in popular film and television where the casting of a protective circle or a protective light has been shown. For instance, I think it was in the films Twilight, perhaps towards the later of the saga, where one of the characters, Bella, was casting a protection around, and this was depicted. White light will keep out any unwanted energy, any unwanted entities, any unwanted evil and psychic attacks, but you must cast it with all of your might. The way that I do it, I do two different ones. So I will, they're both in essence the same thing, but I will cast white light around my entire house every night. That's every night. And I will cast white light around myself during the daytime. There are various ways of doing it. The way that I do it is I envisage the white light coming up from the ground and I build that up and build that up until it surrounds my entire house like a cocoon. And then I envision it going over the rooftop and just overlapping. And this is in all directions, so front, back, sides, everywhere, until the whole thing is enveloped. And then you must remember to do underneath as well. So you're doing underneath the foundation and slightly wrap it. And when that is done, you should be safe then until the following evening. If you feel in your mind's eye that it's starting to flicker, then you can recast. It doesn't do any harm to have more than one layer. And then during the day, you do exactly the same process, only I would do more of a weaving motion to get all of my body in. Some people like to envisage it as like a pair of overalls that you put on and then you zip it up, and that's fine. However you do it, you must see yourself completely enveloped in white light. As you get more adept at doing this, you should be able to cast it really quickly, so that if you're out somewhere and you feel a little uneasy, perhaps you're getting some sort of messages come through that you're not entirely sure about and you think somebody might be casting within your vicinity, then quickly put on your mantle and you should have some protection. I'm Karen Lowen, otherwise known as the Witch Crone, founder of Witchbox, the subscription box company, and walker on life's magical path.